When does a phenomenon become the unknown? When all attempts at understanding fail, and those who thirst for knowledge and understanding watch as research turns to ash in their mouth. As the phenomenon turns from a riddle to be solved into anomalous fascination. Hello, friends. Thank you for tuning in to episode 11 of the Anomalous Fascination podcast. As always, if you love the show and want to show your support, tell a friend about the show or hop on Apple Podcasts and leave a nice 5-star rating and review. Whenever you're listening to this, it is currently between Christmas and New Year's when I'm recording this. So, rather than just not recording this week, I decided to give you a little something, albeit possibly shorter than usual. Once again, I'd like to thank a friend and listener for the suggestion for this topic. I received this suggestion from my buddy and fellow podcaster Rick back when I was first starting the show. I've always known I wanted to talk about this at some point, and figured this week would be the perfect time for a more bite-sized episode. I will warn you, this may be a bit more disturbing than past episodes, so buckle up and enjoy the show. Throughout human history, there has always been an argument on bad luck, curses, omens, or whatever you choose to call it. Whether it be sports teams, families, entire races of people, or even geographical locations. For whatever reason, at some point, things began falling apart for the teams. Tragedies struck the family and races over and over. Or the area, which once was quaint or innocuous, suddenly brings nothing but death and bad fortune. Lore often builds up around these places or events, to varying degrees of seriousness, of course. But no one is quite able to agree on whether this is coincidence, or if something more insidious is at work. No matter how bigger than life the lore becomes, there's one thing that remains true. There is something truly awful that happened. And even if we don't believe in curses, the omens, the hauntings, or even plain old bad luck, we find ourselves wondering, in the darkness of the night, is the nightmare over? Or could it come back? Let's take a stroll, shall we? In the late 1960s and 1970s, a minority group called the Hmong were covertly recruited by the U.S. to help fight communism in the Vietnam War. The Hmong are a minority group from Laos, and were brought into what would become called the Secret War. This would be orchestrated by the CIA as a covert theater of the Vietnam War, Laos Civil War, and Cambodian Civil War. During the duration of the war, over 30,000 Hmong troops were involved in the war. But, as we all know, the United States, which was losing the war, pulled out and fled the area, leaving the communists the Hmong were fighting in power of Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia. The sting of loss had to be difficult to swallow, and the casualties of war also overwhelming, which was at a rate 10 times higher than that of Americans. But the time to mourn the loss would be short-lived for the Hmong. The Hmong were now viewed as traitors by Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia. And what happened next is horrifying. The Killing Fields. A name that, without even knowing all the details, would lead you to believe that to earn that title had to be an absolute catastrophe. Within the country of Cambodia following the Khmer Rouge regime winning the civil war, multiple reports show that between 1.5 and 3.5 million people were killed during this genocide and thrown into a collection of over 20,000 mass graves. Horrifying. At the same time, to a lesser degree, this was happening in Laos as well, with more than 300,000 people being murdered in their own genocide, a large percentage of which were the Hmong people. For those who were fortunate, many were able to flee to Thailand or the United States, either immediately after the war ended, or escaping the killing fields themselves. It was a long and treacherous journey, but they made it, safe and sound. From everything but their memories. These people had gone through so much in just a few short decades. It was no surprise that even after arriving safely, that things were never going to be quite the same for them. Around 35,000 Hmong made it to the United States, and despite them being welcome as they were U.S. allies during the war, they faced a new challenge that no one could have possibly foreseen. And that to this day, no one can explain. In January of 1981, a middle-aged man named Yong Ling Tao, a refugee who had escaped Laos with his wife and 8 young children, found himself up late watching television before finally deciding to settle in for the night. He slipped into bed, briefly waking his wife, before they both went to sleep. A couple of hours later, his wife, Zhang Yu, awoke startled, as her husband's breathing was heavy and labored, getting louder and more intense by the second. She began shaking her husband, whose eyes were still closed as he continued seemingly choking, straining to breathe. As she sat there, watching hopelessly, realizing there was nothing she could do to stop it. And within moments, he was gone. He was 47 years old. This event would have passed as a tragedy, but unremarkable, were it not for Portland, Oregon's Dr. Larry Newman, who saw his second Hmong death in 3 days with a seemingly identical cause of death, as the 29-year-old Zhang Tu Zhang was also found dead in his bed. Both deaths were investigated via autopsy, and the doctor was unable to find any cause of death despite countless research and interviews with family. Finally, Luman, the county medical examiner, was forced to pronounce a cause of death for both of these men, in which he wrote, quote, pending. Luman was advised that in Minneapolis, a similar situation had happened, where 2 Hmong men died of identical circumstances and with no explanation. This caused further investigation in which Luman discovered that between 1978 and 1980, he was able to find 13 cases, also sudden and also unexplainable nocturnal deaths. It is said that from 1978 to the end of 1981, that over 30 cases were discovered in total, all of them involving the Hmong. These investigations finally triggered the CDC to look into the matter, as they began publishing findings regarding the issue, calling this SUNDS, S-U-N-D-S, or Sudden Unexplained Nocturnal Death Syndrome. Despite giving this phenomenon a name, they still have no idea how it happened, how to stop it, or why it appeared to be isolated to the Hmong people. In the past 39 years, numerous theories and suggestions have been given, but none of them could be supported by any science. Following the events of 1981, the next 32 years would find more and more cases of SUNS popping up all around Southeastern Asia, many of which involved minority populations that had also relocated to another country. It's still quite rare amongst populations, but it's certainly disturbing, isn't it? Particularly for our friends the Hmong, who seem to go through one thing after another, just to face one more horrifying nightmare once they'd gotten to safety. So what is it about this event that happened in 1981 in particular that caught my attention and inspired me to do this episode? Stay tuned after this short break to find out more. As light began to come to these events in the U.S. in 1981, one article in particular caught the eye of someone you may know. This particular article was one of the most tragic among the Hmong stories, as it involved a teenager. The boy complained for quite some time to his family of horrible nightmares when he slept, which didn't seem unusual to the family given what they'd all been through. But of course, as things are wont to do, it escalated. The teen would tell his parents more and more that this was different. That he was being chased by something in his dream, and if he fell asleep, it would get him. They were kind, but of course, dismissed it as nothing but childhood fears. The teen, however, decided that the only way to combat this was to stay awake for days at a time, finding it harder and harder to stay up with each passing day. Until finally, to the parents' relief, he fell asleep. And the parents were able to rest easy. But that night, the parents awoke to screams coming from their son's bedroom. Haunting, chilling screams. By the time the parents got up and got into the child's room, it was too late. He was already gone. And who was this person, you may know, that read the article? Why, Wes Craven, of course, who was so chilled and inspired by this article that he made a little-known film inspired by it. A Nightmare on Elm Street. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Anomalous Fascination. If you'd like to keep in touch with the show, you can find me at AnomalyPod on Facebook and Twitter, or email me at anomalousfascination@gmail.com. And if you love the show, hop on Apple Podcasts and leave a nice 5-star rating and review. Or even just tell a friend about it. And until next time, thanks for listening.